The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
From T-Mobile in Covington, it's the Buck Belue Show on The Fan, 680 and 93.7. Man, we're streaming at 680thefan.com. Get that Fan mobile app driven by Beaver Toyota. Beaver Direct, the fastest and easiest way to shop online for your next car. See what wow really means at Beaver Toyota. And also, you can listen on the smart speaker, and that is brought to you by South Point Financial Services, the mortgage professionals. You can check them out at spfs.com. The 10 o'clock hour of the Buck Belue Show, presented by the Haug Barron Law Group, your champions of personal injury law. If you need to win your personal injury case, go to championshiplaw.com. So here we go, man. Over in Covington, we've got a lot of Bulldog fans hanging around this T-Mobile location. As we even had time for a little breakfast before we came on the air. Harper's got us set up and ready to go. Nerney and DT back at the studio where it's all going down starting tonight. Braves and Mets. We've circled this on the calendar for months now, and here we are. Let's get it started with Buck's Big Take.
Buck's Big Take.
All right, it's go time for our Atlanta Braves. One down, six to play. Time to go get them, Braves. These next three nights are obviously huge. At a minimum, Braves need to win the series, take two of three. Then while we sweep the fish, they drop one to the Nationals and do that, and our Braves win their fifth straight National League East Division title. Or we'll take a sweep. Sweep of the Mets, that'd work fine too. Anything short of what I laid out, winning two of the three and then sweeping the fish and watching the Mets lose one to the Nationals, anything short of that, and we hit the ground running as a wild card in the National League. Max Fried, we need a lockdown performance tonight. Acuna, Swanson, and Austin Riley, please show up big in the series. Bullpen, keep doing what you've been doing, dominating. The chances, I believe, of running it back are better as the division champs. So let's go get it starting tonight, and let's score some runs. What do you say? Braves and Mets. Can't wait. And the voice of the Braves, Ben Ingram, is going to join us here momentarily.
Good evening.
As we kick it around with Ben, I think DT's probably calling him as we speak. And we'll get into some of this Braves talk. Ben's ready to go. Let's chop it up.
Time to talk Braves. Let's chop it up. Presented by Haug Law Group, your local personal injury attorneys. HaugLawGroup.com.
All right, so Ben, we've been talking about this since the schedule came out, right? I mean, we've really circled this one on the calendar. So let's get it started, man. I mean, you've probably been ready for this one for weeks now.
Man, we've been talking about this one for a while. And I know you're excited, Buck. I know lots of people in Braves country are excited. And to have it come down to this, with a division on the line and a bye in the opening round of the postseason all on the line, this is exactly what you want. And to have it come down to this, three games, you're building. Looks like we're going to get a break from the weather. So should have really big crowds the entire way, some great pitching matchups. And this is, for the Braves, the biggest games they've played since the World Series. And for the Mets, probably the biggest games they've played since they were in the World Series 7 years ago. So a lot on the line.
Voice of the Braves, Ben Ingram, joins us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. So the boys at the coffee shop, Ben, they were in there arguing earlier this week about winning the division and the advantage of winning the division as opposed to being a wild card team. And it's all about getting some rest and lining up your rotation, resting the bullpen, heading into the postseason.
Yeah, it is. I think there's a distinct advantage in winning the division and getting that break. I really do. And I heard someone try to make the argument that if you go in as a wild card team, there's an advantage in if you win, you have to play the Dodgers in the best 3 out of 5 rather than a best 4 out of 7. What I say to that is, well, you're going to be rolling that series, assuming you even beat the Padres. You go into that series down to your maybe 4th or 5th best starter. Meanwhile, they're well rested. So I don't really buy that argument. I don't think that's a strong argument. Maybe you have a better shot to beat them 3 times rather than 4 times. But my rebuttal to that is they're going to be a lot fresher than you will be in their pen and in their rotation. So I think winning the division comes with a big advantage. And if you can do this, be on the other side, take on the winner of either St. Louis and Milwaukee or St. Louis and Philadelphia. And then if you can advance, see who you play on that other side.
Ben, I was reading some little write-up about the postseason, and they were ranking the rotations for the teams that would be in the postseason. The Mets were number one. You got DeGrom and Scherzer, and they headline what the Mets bring to the table. Braves are number three. Now, that included Strider. Mm-hmm. But we're going to see two of the best pitching rotations in the game matchup in this series.
Yeah, we are. Look, the reason the Mets are in the position that they are, Buck, is because of their pitching. I don't want to take anything away from their position players, but I think there are more potent lineups out there. There are certainly lineups that hit more home runs. That's a team that can really irritate you because they've been amongst the league leaders in infield hits all year, and we know that they can put the ball in play and they don't strike out. But the reason they are where they are is because of their starting pitching. I think in their bullpen, I mean, once you get to Diaz at the back end, it's dominant, but I think they're certainly susceptible between their rotation and the back end of their bullpen. I like the Braves bullpen better than I like the Mets, even though I think their closer might be a slightly better situation. The Braves aren't too far behind, but you got to go toe-to-toe with their starters. It's been interesting seeing the numbers that Scherzer and DeGrom have put up together since DeGrom has come back from the injured list. They've had 18 combined starts. They're 10-8 in those combined starts since DeGrom came back. Now, like Domino says all the time, I can make numbers sing and dance. I think that's certainly true. But at the same time, you can look at those two guys and say that's the best 1-2 punch in the National League. And that's what you have to go through, not only now, but possibly again in the postseason. So the good news is you've seen those guys a lot. There's been success against those guys. And if you can have success against them this series, you'll win this series. And I think you'll take the division eventually.
Ben, where do you think Max Fried is? He's been dominant for us over the last couple of seasons. He's had success against the Mets. I believe we're 2-1 with Max going against the Mets so far this season. I love him having the ball in game one. I know Buck Showalter moved his rotation around to get DeGrom up top there, but I look at Fried and I see one of the most intense competitors on our team and one of the reasons why we were able to win that World Series a year ago. I love the fact we're handing the ball to him in game one tonight. How about you?
I do, too. And it's not just his stuff, Buck. I think it's his entire makeup. I think how he is mentally, how his approach is to the game, his hunger to get out there and dominate, I think it's second to none. And he's been on a good stretch here lately. He's given up 2 earned runs or fewer in 9 straight starts. And the thing is, he's 3-4 in that stretch, but he's got a sub-2 ERA in that stretch. He's only allowed 5 runs the entire month of September. What that tells me is this guy just gets stronger and stronger the bigger the games get. That's the kind of guy that I want out there. And he's had success before. I mean, you talk about winning the World Series last year and being on the mound for Game 6, turning in the performance that he turned in for Game 6 last year. He doesn't just have it in between the ears, and he doesn't just have it with his stuff. He's been there before. He's got the experience. And I think it's a great tone setter to have Max start a series. And I think it's perfect to see him go out there versus DeGrom in Game 1. Max, when he goes out there, the Braves typically win ball games. So I think it's perfect to have him well rested. He's going on about, 6-7 days of rest in between his last start tonight. So he should be good to go.
I'm a big believer when you go into a series like this, looking at the recent trends as far as the batting order, the guys swinging the bats go. Alonso, I believe 0-for-5, struck out 4 times. In the last game, we've had Fried has had a little bit of success against him. He's totally handled Lindor. who was hitting 13 games in a row prior to the last Mets game. So he's trending up. What do you make of this Mets lineup and where they are right now?
When they're hitting home runs, they're going to be tough to beat. I mean, Pete Alonso has been amongst the league leaders in lots of different offensive categories this year, and he's going to be tough. I know they move him up to the two hole to try to get a little bit more pop up there. I think Brandon Nimmo is certainly tough. I feel like every time you see that guy, he's turning in 10, 11, 12 pitch at bats and finding ways to get on base. I feel like he never strikes out. Lindor can be tough. Mark Canna can be tough. But Jeff McNeil, Escobar, Guillorme, those are the guys, Marte, those are the guys that have really hurt the Braves in recent past. I know that they won't have Marte anytime soon, I don't believe. The report as of 2 days ago is that he still can't grip a bat or a ball. So that's problematic for them. But Nimmo, to me, Escobar and Guillorme have given the Braves fits. Jeff McNeil is just such a gritty hitter. So if those guys are on base, that's when you have guys like Alonso and Lindor come up to the plate and they hit a home run. Next thing you know, you're down 3-0. So I think you have to do a good job of making sure you can attack those guys that like to get on base so easily. Talking about Nimmo and Guillorme and McNeil. Keep them off base. I think the best thing you can do facing Lindor and Alonso is make sure they're coming up to the plate with nobody on base.
All right, Olson has begun to snap out of that funk he was in. We've got Riley that has trended down here lately. I'm a little concerned about Riley coming into this series and into the postseason. But we've got Acuna playing at a high level. He could be a real difference maker here.
I think he can be, Buck. I mean, he's arguably the biggest X factor in your lineup because we know what he can do when he's on. I mean, Ronald can carry you the same way that Austin Riley can carry you when Austin's red hot. We've seen some good things here in the last week plus with Acuna, with Rosario, with Ozuna. Those guys have started to hit the ball a little bit more regularly. They've been on base a little bit more, seen a little bit more power. And I think if you're an opposing team, if you're an opposing pitching coach, and you're going into a series against the Braves, sure, you might circle Austin Riley and say, that's the guy I don't want to beat me. But there's a long list of guys that when they're on, you're in some serious trouble. I mean, this is not an easy lineup to navigate through and find out. I mean, case in point, you can put Michael Harris anywhere you want to in the lineup. He's hit as low as 6 here recently. He's hit as high as 2 here recently. Dansby Swanson's going to be really tough, especially late in ball games. And that when the game's on the line, it comes through in a big way. You know what you run into with Riley and Olson. And I like what Snitt has done lately here at the end of that road trip where he split those guys up a little bit, be it with Michael Harris or be it with Travis d'Arnaud, spread them out a little bit more, put Matt down to the 5-hole, and I think he responded well there. But the good news is you've got options. You've got all sorts of combinations you can use with this lineup because your lineup is so deep, and you can roll out so many guys who can hit the long ball. So that makes the Braves extremely dangerous. And to see some of those guys turn it on when they have, I think that's very important going into the final week of the season.
Ben, finally, we got a packed house 3 nights in a row here. Sold out crowd. Truist is going to be rocking, much like it has been all season long. I know you're going to be fired up seeing that sold out crowd, man. I think that's a real edge coming into this series. We don't have to have a sweep, though, right? I mean, do you believe we got to sweep this series to win the division? I'm thinking I'd love the sweep now. Don't get me wrong, but I think 2 out of 3 and then we take care of business against Miami and hopefully they lose one against Washington. How do you see it going down here?
Yeah, sure. I think, look, if you take 2 out of 3, that's a great thing. I mean, I think you win the series. You still need a little bit of help because they would still have the tiebreaker over the Braves if the
right.
Braves only win 2. So you would certainly need the Nationals to beat them in 1 game, and you would need to sweep the Marlins. And I know that the Braves have used the Marlins as a punching bag this season, but it's never easy to go down there and win 3. They're going to roll out likely Lopez and Alcantara, and they're really tough. So if you can sweep the Mets, obviously that would go a long way. I mean, at that point, then your magic number, I want to say, would be 2, and it wouldn't matter what the Mets do so long as you take 2 out of 3 down there in Miami. But first things first, you need to win this series. And if you can do that, then you hope you get a little luck your way and maybe the Nats beat them and you can take care of business down in Miami and win this thing. It would be tremendous. And to be honest, Buck, I think it comes down to the very last day of the season. It wouldn't shock me if you go into the last day saying, well, we need to win and they need to lose or something like that in order to make this thing happen.
Love it, man. Can't wait to hear your call tonight. You'll hear all the action. We're the home of the world champion Braves here, Ingram, coming up later tonight. Ben, appreciate your time and insight, buddy.
You got it, Buck. Thank you, man.
Ben Ingram, voice of the Braves. Man, you can tell he's already fired up. I bet he's already got his game clothes on, ready to get in there and give it a call. All right, coming up next, we're going to take a look around the college football scene. Get you ready. Talk a little Alabama, Tennessee, LSU, and Auburn. And go find those shades, man. We're going to the quarterback club coming up next. We are live at the T-Mobile in Covington, which is right down the street from Atlanta. Right, Harper? And I want to invite you to come on by. Your chance to win tickets to see your Bulldogs play Between the Hedges. Come on by and get registered between 10 and 12. I'll be selling the book Inside the Hedges after I get off the air. We'll be around till noon. T-Mobile Covington. It's the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Belue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
It'll be fun. I mean, that's kind of why you play. Hope we can play the games, and it'll be a great series. I mean, it's just two really good teams, obviously, going at it, and see what happens.
Go get them, Snet. We're counting on you, man. Let's take these sorry, stinking Mets down. Hard. With the win tonight, let's get it started.
Guess who just got back?
And we've got another busy day in college football. We're going to break it down. It's the Buck Belue Show here live in Covington at the T-Mobile. Want to invite you to come on by and register for your chance to win some tickets. See those dogs between the hedges. Right, Harper? And 680 The Fan's College Game Day, presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union and Marco's Pizza, will be live from the Ivy in Buckhead tomorrow from 11 to 2:05. Join your host. How about it, Nerney? You and Dylan, as they get you ready for another Saturday of college football action, then stick around to see the biggest games in college football with some of the best eats in Buckhead at the Ivy. That's 680's College Game Day, presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union and Marco's Pizza, live from the Ivy, Roswell Road in Buckhead, 11 to 2:05. Go out there and support Nerney. He breaks it down for you. I'm ready to do it right now as we bounce around the deep south. So get ready for another busy day. Week number 5 in college football. And we got Alabama and Arkansas. That'll be the 3:30 kickoff on CBS. That one going down in Fayetteville. Hogs are having a red out. Be the first time they ever had one of those. Seems like Alabama plays pretty well when the opposing team comes with a themed game, like Georgia with a blackout. Wasn't that 31-0 in Athens a few years ago? But got Alabama. They've won 15 in a row over Arkansas. And I tell you what I'm looking forward to is I'm looking forward to seeing good versus good. Beast versus beast. Specifically, Will Anderson Jr. on that Alabama defense getting after the Arkansas quarterback, K.J. Jefferson, talking about ballers. These guys can play, man. You got K.J. Jefferson. He's 6'3", 240 pounds at quarterback for Arkansas. Tough to get down. Unless you're Will Anderson Jr. at 6'4", 250. I bet K.J. Jefferson's selling his offensive line. Let's double-team Anderson. I'll take care of the free guy, just long as it's not Anderson. Alabama, it's got to be a little bit of a mental hurdle. As I understand it, Sam Pittman this week has spoken to his team about believing in their themselves, trusting the fact that they're just as good as Alabama. Sure, they may have more five-star players, but it's a team game. So get past that mental hurdle that you're taking on big, mighty Alabama. Go out there and give it your best shot. It was an entertaining game a year ago. And that K.J. Jefferson had a big-time game last season, too, against the Tide. 22 of 30, 300-plus, three touchdowns, no interceptions. Looking forward to seeing a big game there, 3:30 on CBS tomorrow. Alabama, at last check, was a 16.5-point favorite in the game. Good versus good, man. Noon kickoff in Oxford. We got a game that's really under the radar. Kentucky and Ole Miss going to be going at it. Chris Rodriguez back, the running back for Kentucky, and that should help the big blue wall protect their quarterback, Will Levis, who's getting sacked way too much this season. The big blue wall, you say? Yeah, that's what Kentucky calls their offensive line. They have not been the big blue wall so far this year. They're giving up four sacks a game, basically, there. But interesting matchup. Ole Miss, 6.5-point favorite, 5.5-point favorite, somewhere in those lines. Looking forward to seeing that one. LSU and Auburn, 7 o'clock kickoff on ESPN. That one's going down at Jordan-Hare. Auburn escaping last week. Should have lost that game to Missouri. And they're, Auburn Tiger offense absolutely stinks. 17 points a game they're averaging. There are 131 teams. Auburn's 109th in scoring offense through the first four games. Absolutely lousy. Now, I'll tell you where Auburn's good, their defensive line. Probably the strength of their team. They're looking to win the line of scrimmage battle, force some bad plays, tackles for losses, getting after LSU, who's had some problems blocking. Their offensive line has been their weakness. So that would be the advantage for Auburn, their defensive line. Last time LSU went into Jordan-Hare and won, I believe it was 2018. Got a good one there. A&M and Mississippi State, a 4 o'clock kickoff in Stark Patch. SEC Network has it. Mississippi State, a 3.5-point favorite. And A&M's had problems with teams from Mississippi here lately. Since 2018, the Aggies 4-3 against Mississippi State and Ole Miss. Mississippi State beat them last season 26-22. Will Rogers threw the ball 60 times that game. A&M, you might want to get a good pass defensive plan together for this one. And news coming out of Tennessee, man, that Volunteer fan base is stoked as any in the country. And ESPN reporting that their go-to wide receiver, Cedric Tillman, who had 1,000 yards a year ago, all SEC, all American coming into this year, he's had tightrope surgery. Tightrope surgery, you ask? Yeah, he had a high ankle sprain against Akron, missed the Florida game, and the tightrope surgery is supposed to accelerate the recovery. They use a surgical thread, I guess, to tighten it up. It looks like Cedric Tillman is on his way back. And one little nugget coming out of Fox College football analyst Joel Klatt. I'm not a big fan of Klatt. Maybe you are. But he's saying Deion Sanders is the next Auburn head coach because he can recruit. Now, Deion, his name's been thrown around in that Georgia Tech search also. Got a lot of people coming after Deion. A.J. McCarron coming out saying already that Scott Harsin's already been fired. I've got some thoughts on the Tech search coming up here in just a few moments. Clemson, NC State, 7:30 kickoff on ABC. That one's at Memorial Stadium. Okay, Death Valley and Clemson. Tigers, a 7-point favorite. Two 4-0 teams going at it. And two really good quarterbacks. DJU coming off his best game of his career. Devin Leary has played a lot of quality football for NC State over the last couple of years. Looking forward to seeing that one, too. So a lot to keep up with. Looking forward to it. I know we've all got our minds on the Braves, but week five of the college football season, we get into conference play, baby. It's going to be interesting. The college football deep south bounce. So at this point in time, guys, ladies, go ahead and grab the shades because, man, we're going to the club. Shades on into club. That's right. We're heading to the club, baby. Get those shades on in the club. The quarterback club. The clubs aren't open yet. Come on. You know, I mean, T-Mobile's barely open. You know, the clubs aren't open yet. I bet you're going later on tonight, though, brother. All right, the quarterback club. I want to talk about DJU, Uwe Ungalale, coming off his best performance of his career last weekend and looking to back that up with another quality performance. He threw for 370 and five touchdowns last Saturday against Wake Forest. And here's a guy that was hearing and seeing a lot of criticism coming his way coming off last season. It's a five-star recruit. Big things expected. And apparently must have let a lot of people down last season with his performance. But here's a guy that recommitted during the offseason. He took a hard look in the mirror. And the first thing he did was got fit. He dropped 25 to 30 pounds. Then he got in the video room and broke down every single snap from last season. And every good quarterback returning is going to do that. Sit down and watch every game, every play, and really take a good long look at how you can get better. And I'm sure he saw where he was lacking. Because he straightened it out, man. 64% completion percentage, 10 touchdowns, only one interception so far this season. And the change I've seen with him is the poise that he's showing in the pocket. A year ago, man, the first time he felt or saw pressure, that big boy at 260 pounds was trying to get out of the pocket. They were running him down fast. This year, you see a different guy. He's so poised in the pocket, sliding in the pocket, moving away from the pressure, still keeping his eyes downfield. And I see a guy using the entire field this year. Last season, basically, it was look at that primary target on a certain play, and if that guy wasn't open, he started looking around for somewhere to run and fall. This year, you see him looking at one side of the field. Oh, that side of the field is all covered up. You see him now looking back to the other side of the field. And, man, I tell you what, there were a couple of instances against Wake Forest last weekend where he was in the pocket. He worked one side of the field. Nobody was open. Pressure was getting in close to him. He stood in there strong, looked at the other side of the field, and dropped some absolute dimes into tight coverage for big-time plays for the Clemson Tigers. DJU, man, he's a new guy at the quarterback spot. And the Tigers are going to need another quality performance out of him against NC State coming up tomorrow night. I love the perseverance story, and always have. The guy that is heavily criticized for a reason, and then you see the guy stay strong, keep the confidence, go to work, get better, come back and experience success after putting in the work. And that's exactly what Uwe Ungalale has done this year. I hadn't heard too much talk about putting in that backup quarterback, that freshman, coming off that performance last weekend. DJU, man, he is getting it done right now. And there's your trip to the club. The trip to the club. I know you're heading out to the club tonight. Be careful out there. Man, I'm still wanting to talk college football, Ernie. Let me come up with a nugget. Go ahead and roll it.
Tasty. Time for the College Football Nugget, presented by your locally owned and operated Ace Hardware. Find your neighborhood store at acehardware.com.
All right, I'm tracking that Georgia Tech head coaching search story. Just like you, curious where that's going to go. And wishing Coach Brent Key the nothing but success as the interim coach here the rest of the year. But, you know, I was doing some research there, show prep, they call it in the business, looking at Georgia Tech, who they're looking at reportedly, and who could be involved in the coaching search. Ran across this article in Sports Illustrated and ESPN, and it was showing some history of these hires made by Georgia Tech in the football program, and it's not real impressive. And I'm not here to pass judgment on anybody. I'm just pointing out the facts. But in the history of Georgia Tech football, they've had one black coordinator. One. No black head coaches. The coordinator, Brian Baker, back in 1995 on O'Leary's staff for one season. No black head coaches. And yet they're right there in the middle of Atlanta, Atlanta, the mecca of black history, black culture and business. And I laid out who I thought were the two top candidates. You know, here's a Georgia guy trying to tell Tech what to do, but I'm in the sports talk radio business, so I got to bring the opinion. And I think Dale McGee is set up. He's got to be one of the top candidates out there. The Georgia running back coach, run game coordinator. Now, I know the Tech guys probably think, come on, Blue, you want a Georgia guy to get the Georgia Tech job? Well, no, I don't. I think Tech, if they went Dale McGee, would be able to sell the fact that he's not really a Georgia guy. All right, he went to Auburn, played football at Auburn, and he came back to Columbus and coached at Carver High in Columbus, and he flat out dominated for a decade. Dominated as the head coach. They were going to the state semifinals every single year. Kirby Smart got the job at Georgia. First guy he wanted to hire was Dale McGee to get him in there. He's got more recruiting contacts in the state of Georgia than anybody. Anybody. The relationships he's already got with high school coaches all over the state. And here's a guy that knows football, too. How can Dale McGee not be one of the top candidates for this job at Georgia Tech? And if hired, he'd be the first black head coach at Georgia Tech. And I thought Bill O'Brien, now he's not black, he's white. I think he, with his history at Georgia Tech, on O'Leary's staff, he spent some time coaching at Georgia Tech. He's got experience as a head coach at Penn State, in the NFL. I think he would be another quality candidate there, too. But I'll tell you what, if I was making the decision for Georgia Tech, knowing what I know, Dale McGee would be the number one candidate in my book. And it's got nothing to do with what color he is. Nothing to do with that. But that would be a great fit after what I just told you, ESPN and Sports Illustrated pointing out. And there's your college football nugget today. Probably stirred it up a little bit with that nugget today. I tell you, anytime you bring race into it, man, look out. Look out. And that leads us right into the Bulldog Roundtable.
The Fan is proud to be the official sports talk station of the Dogs. And it's time for Bulldog Roundtable with Buck Ballou.
25-20, far sideline, 15-10, Buck, get in there, touchdown!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union, Hal Glaudley, Georgia Pack and Load, Stat Hero, T-Mobile, and by attorney Ken Nugent.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Only on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Now the number one Georgia Bulldogs traveling out to Missouri today. Going to take on the Missouri Tigers. They're 2-2, a 7:30 kickoff in Columbia. You'll find that on the SEC Network tomorrow night. Under Kirby Smart, Bulldogs are 6-0 against Missouri. Average score of those six games, 40-17. No wonder they're 28-point favorites. I want to talk about one player on each side of the ball in the roundtable today. We got Kenny McIntosh, who I had on the show earlier this week. He's dinged up. He's got a thigh bruise, all right? So as a running back, not something that, you want to risk, re-injuring or making the injury even worse. So I'm believing we probably won't see very much of McIntosh in this game tomorrow night, which means that Milton would be the featured back for the Georgia Bulldogs tomorrow night. And Milton's a guy that has spent the last couple of years getting a taste of it. He came in a five-star recruit, big reputation, waited on his turn, got to play a little bit the first two seasons on campus. He seemingly got dinged up a lot in those 2 years, but he's healthy and ready to go right now. And I think with McIntosh dinged up and perhaps not getting a full dose of reps and touches in this game tomorrow night, I think this is an outstanding opportunity for Milton to step up and deliver. Be the featured back. Right now he's got this reputation as a guy that you can't really count on because he's going to get three or four or five carries and then he's going to go limping off the field. And so this is a great opportunity for him to step in as the featured back, get multiple touches. I mean, you go down and lay down a game where you get 150 yards, 2 to 3 touchdowns, and now everybody suddenly is believing in you. With McIntosh out, he's going to get a full dose of touches, I would imagine, tomorrow night. And it's a great opportunity for him to show his teammates, the coaching staff, and the Bulldog Nation that he's a guy that's going to put up some big numbers when he gets the opportunity. So looking forward to seeing what he brings to the table there tomorrow night. Over on the defensive side, I want to talk about one of these beasts that Georgia has unleashed on the first four teams they've played this year. And it was at a spot, a position group, where I was really concerned coming into the season, and that is inside linebacker with N'Kobe Dean moving on to the Philadelphia Eagles. There was a lot they had to replace there in the middle of that defense, and Smile Mondon has been nothing but spectacular early this season. This guy, if you've been watching him, he's leading the team in tackles right now. And he is a physical player on the inside of that defense. And, that's not all he can do. He plays physical at the point of attack. When they're going to play power football, he doesn't shy away from that contact. He's taking you down hard. And then you see him also out on the perimeter, running down plays. He plays the run and the pass. I think this guy's a star in the making. And we're seeing that, seeing the breakout season for Smile Mondon so far this year. I think here are two guys that are going to help Georgia win this game easily tomorrow night. You got Milton getting the ball at running back. You got Mondon over on defense leading the team in tackles. Spotlighting Mondon. All right, just watch him for some of the reps over on that defensive side of the ball, Georgia fans, and I guarantee you're going to leave impressed. This guy is a star that you're seeing unveiled right there in front of you. Smile Mondon, a beast. All right, coming back on the other side, we're going to talk a little Falcons football. And then I'm going to do something crazy before the end of that. I'm telling you, man, I'm feeling it. I'm going to do something crazy in this final segment of the show. We are live from T-Mobile in Covington. And want to invite you to come on by and your chance to get registered and win tickets to see the Bulldogs in Athens, courtesy of our friends at T-Mobile. We're in an industrial boulevard in Covington. We'll be here to noon. It's the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Belue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
I'm sure it's going to be a packed house there in Atlanta, so we're excited. It's been good crowds all year, and this is one of the biggest ones, so I know the fans will show up.
Let's get it started.
Everybody here, everybody here, let's get into it. Get stoned, come on, get started, come on, get started, get started. Let's get it started.
You got the Belue Show here on The Fan, and on The Fan later this evening. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. Braves and Mets, game one. Max Fried taking on Jacob deGrom in game number one. Man, looking forward to that action tonight. I'm glad we've got our Friday night as far as our family goes. No high school football tonight. We've got an off week. So you can count. I'm not going to the club tonight unless it's after the game. Then I might see you in the club later on.
Shades on in the club.
Let's talk some Falcons football, babe. All right, Nerney? Okay, yeah, let's keep going for a little bit. Hey, this coming up next Saturday before the Georgia game, you can join The Fan and Harrah's Cherokee Casinos Tailgate Central for a huge free tailgate in Athens. Party's going to start 3 hours prior to kickoff, and we've got a primo location right next to the Classic Center on Thomas Street and East Clayton Street at One Press Place. We're going to have some Cole Cerveza from Corona, Jim Beam, and Tito's Vodka, food from Bojangles, live music by Francisco Vidal. You must be 21 or older to enter. Get your free tickets now at 680thefan.com/tailgatecentral. Big thanks to Harrah's Cherokee Casinos, Georgia Power, Corona, Jim Beam, Tito's Handmade Vodka, and Bojangles. Let's talk Falcons.
The Dirty Birds are in our blood. And guys like Buck know what's happening in the huddle. Let's dive into Falcons football on The Fan.
All right, spoke about it earlier this week, how the Falcons, man, they better pack a lunch. They got to slow down Nick Chubb on Sunday at MBS. And what's going to take about 12 or 14 guys to probably slow him down over there on. Maybe we can sneak some extra guys on defense. And now a little concerned about the Falcons and their run game. Cordarrelle Patterson has been, well, nothing short of spectacular, but he's missed practices this week. Both Wednesday and Thursday did not participate in practice. That is a concern. Now, from the Falcons' side, they're talking about, no, he's just resting. He's rehabbing and resting the knee. And he sure looked good last week out in Seattle. 17 carries, had a touchdown run, and hit 20.7 miles per hour on that 40-yard run that he had. I believe that's the fastest Falcon so far this season, 20.7 miles per hour. And the fourth fastest time in the NFL by a running back this season, 6.2 yards per carry this season. Come on, Patterson, we need you, man. You're all rested up. Guess if he can't go, we're going to have to hand that ball to the rookie, Tyler Algier, who's averaging 3.4 yards per carry. So about half of what Patterson's averaging. Man, we need Patterson is what we need. I finally come around on this, and I know I was slow to come around. I looked at Patterson as a return man and as a wide receiver. I'm sold at this point. Sold. Come on, Patterson. We need you on Sunday. We're going to win a wild card spot, make the playoffs this year. We got to win at home, man, like I was saying yesterday. You got to have a home field edge. Patterson, we need you to have one of those. Come on, man. All right, I said I was going to do something crazy before the end of the show, and I'll do it in the final word. Every Friday at the end of the show, we've been picking one college game and picking one NFL game. My picks of the week, well, that hadn't gone real well. I'm 1-5 right now. A week ago, last Friday, I took Clemson -7. So they go to OT, they score, and when they do that, they don't kick the extra point. So didn't cover there. And then I took the Seahawks, -1 over the Falcons. Look, Falcons are going to be on the West Coast for 2 weeks, playing in Seattle, biggest home field edge in the National Football League. And my Falcons came through and got the victory there. So a tough week last week. So what's crazy this week? I'm picking four games, not two. Four games I'm going to pick right now. Two in college. I'm going Kentucky +7 against Ole Miss. Kentucky's got their running back back. That's going to help their quarterback be a little better protected. I'm going to take the 7 points and take Kentucky over Ole Miss. I'm going to also take Texas A&M +4 against Mississippi State. Texas A&M with better players than Mississippi State. Going with the Aggies +4. NFL games. I'm going to take the Bills coming off a loss, -3. They're in Baltimore taking on the Ravens. I'm going Bills to bounce back -3. And reluctantly, I'm taking the Eagles -6.5 over the Jaguars, who come in feeling really good about things. But they're heading into a hornet's nest there in Philadelphia. So I'm going to give up the 6.5 and take the Eagles there. There you go. Something crazy. Instead of two with a 1-5 record, I'm going four games for you this week.
You know somebody with a gambling issue? 1-800-GAMBLER.
They're my picks of the week.
1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, want to thank my man Harper for getting us set up out here in Covington today at the T-Mobile. Nerney and DT back at the studio. Great job, guys. It's been another good week. Appreciate you listening to the Ballou Show. Come on by. We're going to be here to noon. T-Mobile in Covington. Have a great rest of the day, everybody.
Thank you, Buck.
Okay, thanks a lot, Buck.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballou here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business.
I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.